them, but I knew what I was going to preach in the service today, and for early in the week, it hit me pretty hard what the Lord wanted me to preach. And I have, Brother Darnell, I've learned a long time ago to hear the voice of the Lord. I know what it sounds like, and I know what I feel the Lord has laid an impression on me, and I've got to that place where I just preach what the Lord tells me to preach because I know He laid it on me. And so I'm going to give it to you the best I can, and things always go better when I do what the Lord tells me to do. John chapter number 8, verse 31 in the English Standard Version. So Jesus said to the Jews who had believed Him, "If you abide in My word, you are truly My disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." They answered Him, "We are offspring of Abraham and have never been enslaved to anyone. How is it that you say you will become free?" Jesus answered them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, everyone who practices sin is a slave to sin. The slave does not remain in the house forever. Son remains forever. So, if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed." The title of my message today is True Freedom is Found in Jesus. And my subtitle would be Free for Real. Hallelujah. Free for Real. Lord, before we have everyone seated down, we just ask You to give us boldness and courage, presence of mind, open up a door of utterance that we might speak clearly and freely in this house. And I pray that hearts and minds will be receptive to the Word. And I pray that Your Word would accomplish things, would change things inside of us, and trigger things and flip switches inside of us that would truly release the full blessing that You have for Your people in this hour. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Everyone said amen?
Amen.
Be seated. Now, everyone is a slave to sin. Paul wrote his letter to the church in Rome. He said, "Everyone has sinned and come short of God's expectation." Everyone is a slave of sin, and only Jesus can set us free. The Bible says that there was a man by the name of Adam in the Old Testament at the beginning. The Bible says he was the first man to live. Come on, preach it, brother. And so the Bible says, made a bad decision, and his decision was to disobey God's instructions. And the Bible teaches that Adam and Eve plunged the human race into sin. And we are under that curse of sin today. But the Bible also teaches us that there was a man named Jesus who was also known as the Son of God, and that He came into the world to save sinners. It says in the book of Galatians chapter 3 and verse 22 in the New Living Translation, "But the Scriptures declare that we are all prisoners of sin. And so we receive God's promise of freedom only by believing in Jesus Christ." Jesus is the only way to the Father. He's the only way to access the blessings of God. He's the only way to get out. The only one that can unlock the chains. The only one that can unlock the door of the jail cell and let us out of our bondage to sin. Jesus is the only way. And if you talk with people long enough, you'll run into this conversation. Everyone, "I'm not perfect. I've made mistakes." Everyone has made mistakes. Everyone fails. Everyone falters and makes mistakes. But the point is this, to get to this understanding, true freedom is found in Jesus. It's not found in the United States of America. It's not found in the Republican or the Democratic parties. It's not found with Donald Trump or Barack Obama or Hillary Clinton. It's not found in the nuclear powers and armies and might. It's not found in bank accounts and finances and all of those things. True freedom only can be found in and through Jesus, our Lord and our Savior. Now you might say to me, I have tried Jesus before, but how many times have you run into a person who said, I have tried Jesus before, but the problem is simple. Jesus isn't something you try to see if you like it or not. Jesus isn't something we try to see if we like it or not. The church has been preaching a buy one, get one free gospel for too long. The church has been preaching a message of 30-day money-back guarantee for too long. There is only one way to the Father, and that is through His Son, the man, Jesus Christ. Amen. The one who went to Calvary, the one who died and shed His blood, the one who was resurrected by the power of God after 3 days, and the one who ascended into heaven, the miracle worker, the healer, the eye opener, the dead brought to life. He is the only one that can save us. And he is not something that you test out or try out. You don't kick the tires of the church as though to see if this might be something you want to be a part of. You're either in it or you're not. There's no such thing as a part-time Christianity. There's a lot of two-timers in the church today. The only time they go to church is on Easter and on Christmas. And then I'll tell you something. Those people are not saved. They are not in relationship with God. They are not living in victory and liberty and freedom. But they are living in sin, and they obey the lusts of the flesh, and their lives are full of junk and garbage. But yet somehow they've been convinced that shaking a preacher's hand and getting a slap on the back and getting a paper to hang on the wall is somehow going to get them to heaven. The only way that you can get to heaven is through Jesus Christ. Amen. And I'm not talking about clapping hands with him, patting him on the back. I'm not talking about happy clappy and patty cake Jesus' name. I'm talking about having a relationship with Jesus. If you don't go to a church every week, you don't have a relationship with Jesus. Because the Bible says that the church is the body of Christ. And that you got to be a part of the body of Christ if you're going to be in relationship with Jesus. I tell you, there's a lot of people got a relationship with their television screens. They got relationships with televangelists. There's a lot of people got a relationship with YouTube religion. And they can turn it on and turn And I'm here to tell you that kind of relationship is not the kind of relationship that God offers through Jesus. That's not the kind of relationship that's going to get you to heaven. You can't turn God off and turn Him on when you need Him and turn Him off so He's not looking to see you when you are enslaved to sin. It's time, church, that we stop dipping our toes in the water to see if we want to get in all the way or not. You got to dive in head first and let that cold water hit your body and get involved in the kingdom all the way. Amen. Only Jesus can set us free. Yeah. Well, I've tried Jesus, but well, the problem is you got to stop trying. You got to stop buying little samples and tasting and getting what's free. You know, they put their little taste testers at Walmart every once in a while. You go in there and they'll have a little weenie or a little piece of cheese seeds. I'm here to tell you, I don't want no free samples of Jesus. But you know why they do that? Because they want to get you to buy the product. There's too many churches offering little weenies and little bite-sized pieces of cheese on Sunday, hoping that people are going to want to buy in. That's not how you get saved. That's not how a church grows. That's not how you guarantee your chair at the table of the wedding feast of Christ that is coming to this world one day. The way you do is you get in with both feet. You get in all the way. The Bible says you don't belong to yourself. You have been bought with the price. Well, that's why, Jesus, but you need to stop playing games with God. You don't try God. The David said, you taste and see that the Lord is good. When you experience love, you don't want less of it. You want more of it. There's no need to ration it out. There's no need to just eat a little bit and stay back some for tomorrow. Jesus is everything that you need. He is all that you need now, right now. Fill up on Jesus. And tomorrow, there'll be plenty more where that came from. Because the supply never runs dry. If you're not set free by Jesus, then you are a slave to sin. Because that is just the way it is. And you can tell if people who people are enslaved by or who they serve by the things they say and the things they do. You don't type it on Facebook. Oh, I'm glad I believed in Jesus. Oh, pass this along to 10 friends and you'll receive $100 in the mail. Oh, I'm glad that Jesus died on Calvary for me. And then 10 minutes later, they post a video on F this and F that and cussing and all these sorts of things. And oh, pictures of all kinds of things on there and a bunch of nasty stuff. I'm here to tell you, you're not saved because you believe in Jesus. The Bible says the devils believe in Jesus, but that don't make them saved, baby. You want to be saved, and you say you believe in something, then it will prove itself out in the way you talk, and the way you think, and the decisions you make, and the way you live your life. If you're living like the devil and coming to church and talking all pretty about God, it's pretty simple to see that you're a slave to sin, and you ain't never been set free by Jesus. Because when Jesus sets us free, He sets us free for real. Erwin McManus said, sin creates the illusion of freedom. In the end, it tricks us into seeking freedom from God rather than finding freedom in God. Jesus Christ and the truth about Jesus, that He is the Son of God, that He is the only way to the Father, He is the only way to heaven, that He is the only way to be saved, that truth that He died and was in the grave for 3 days and 3 nights, and through the power of God He was raised up from the dead and appeared alive to His disciples, and that He ascended into heaven after about 40 days. And then about a week later, the Bible says that the promise of the Father, which was the gift of the Holy Spirit, was poured out. That is the truth about Jesus. It said in Romans chapter 8, if any man have not the Spirit of God, then he is none of His. I'm here to tell you, there's only one way to heaven, and that's believing in Jesus and being filled with His Spirit and letting His Spirit change your life. But by you, if you come to church and
set free.
If you're still doing the same things that you've always done, I'm here to tell you the world is not looking for a church that looks like they do. The world is not looking for a church that talks like they do. The world is not looking for a church that makes them feel comfortable and satisfied, because people are not satisfied. They can never be satisfied. I don't care how rich you are. I don't care how much money you have. It will never satisfy the longing of the human heart. It will never satisfy the longing of the soul. I don't care how many relationships you've been in. I don't care how many things you own, or how many degrees are on the wall, or how much you accomplish in this life. Without Jesus, you will never be free. People come and people go and nothing changes. The Bible tells me that any person, any man, any woman who is set free by Jesus Christ, that everything changes with them. That all the things they used to do pass away, and that everything new begins to change. They wake up and they wake up to a new reality. Their mind doesn't think about the things that it used to think about. They used to think about how they can please themselves. They used to think about how they can make themselves happy. They used to think about how they can do things that would satiate their pleasures and their desires. But when Jesus sets you free from sin, and all those things are nothing but sin. The Bible says all that is in the world is the lust of the eyes and the lust of the flesh and the pride of life. Those things will bind you. Those things will enslave you. And they will drag you to hell. But when Jesus saves you, everything changes. When Jesus delivers you and gives you freedom, He breaks the chains of sin off of your life, off of your mind, off of your body, and off of your soul. Because when Jesus sets me free, He sets me free for real.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
And the truth about Jesus and the freedom that He brings is not a mirage or some type of an illusion. Hallelujah. The Apostle Paul said this in 1 Timothy chapter number 1, verse 12 through 17. I thank Him who has given me strength. When you're saved and set free by Jesus, you will realize supernatural strength that you never had before. And I'm not talking about Samson and the jawbone of a donkey. I'm talking about spiritual strength. I'm talking about mental stability. I'm talking about emotional strength that comes to you when Jesus sets you free.
Amen.
I thank Him who has given me strength. Christ Jesus our Lord, because He judged me faithful, appointing me to His service, though formerly, everybody say formerly, everybody say used to be. You can tell somebody that's been set free, because the way people talk about them is this: they used to be. Come on now, they used to be. They used to cuss and fuss, but they don't cuss and fuss no more. Why? Because something has changed inside of them. They are no longer enslaved to those things that they used to be. Jesus set them free. He said, I used to be a blasphemer, a persecutor, and an insolent opponent of God. But I received mercy because I had acted ignorantly in unbelief. Paul, the Bible says, his original name was Saul. He was such a bad dude that they had to change his name so nobody would know who he used to be. And you read the Old Testament, that's the way it went. You know, Abram, God said, no, that's who you used to be. Now your name is Abraham. Nobody calls him Abram anymore. And nobody calls his wife Sarai. Why? Because that's what they used to be. But their names were changed to reflect what God was giving them power to become in their lives. I'm not a sinner anymore, but I have been saved by grace. I'm not an orphan anymore. I'm not an outcast, but I am a child of God. I am a son. I am a daughter of God. I have been saved, and I have been adopted into His family. He was such a bad dude, they changed his name. Because he didn't want anybody to connect who he used to be with who he was today. He said, I used to be a blasphemer and a persecutor and an insolent opponent. The Bible says in the book of Acts that this apostle Paul, who wrote all of these letters in the New Testament and was such a powerful promoter of the good news about Jesus throughout the Roman Empire, this guy was so powerful that he preached before the greatest men and women, the most powerful people of the day. He preached before queens and kings. He preached before generals and even spoke before the emperor of Rome himself. He was powerful in his influence of God. Turn the world upside down. But before he did, he used to be. Everybody say, used to be. He was a bad dude. First time we get introduced to Paul, who got his name changed to Paul, he was Saul, and we get introduced to him. Him and his friends are killing a Christian. You know what they're doing? They are throwing rocks at a Christian, and they're hitting Stephen with rocks, big rocks, throwing him hard, blooding him up, breaking his bones, and he falls on the ground and dies. And the first time we meet Saul, who later becomes a great apostle, the Bible says he's standing there holding everybody's coats and going, yeah, he deserved it. So what he gets for believing in Jesus? For not everybody's going to be happy about what you have become. Not everybody is going to appreciate the changes that are coming in your life. But you know what I think about? The same thing you should think about it. Too bad. There's too much to lose in not living for God, and too much to gain in living for God. If you don't like it, too bad. I'm not making this decision based on your opinions or how you're going to look at me or how you think about it. I am doing this because it is the most rightest thing that ever was to be done. Jesus did something that was so right that he turned everything upside down. And this man Saul, the Bible says, whose name had to be changed because he was such a bad dude. He went around with authority. He had soldiers with him. They had spears and swords and sticks and whips. And they went all from town to town, to city, house to house. They took kids and they grabbed them up and took them away from their parents. And he was tearing up families away from their parents and saying, you're never going to see your parents again. Why? Because they're Christians. Kids were screaming and crying. Pretty strong, ain't you? And taking kids, separating husbands and wives, and they were throwing them in prison. They were dying from exposure, and they were dying for other reasons where they were just being murdered and martyred for their faith. This guy was a bad dude, and he was, the Bible says, he wreaked havoc. The King James Version says he wreaked havoc on the church. Let me tell you something, living for Jesus is not always going to be roses and cherry pies and Sunday afternoon naps, because the devil doesn't like Jesus. And there are people in the world that are bound by sin. They are promoters of sin and wickedness, and they hate Jesus, and they hate people that live for Jesus, and they get violent about it at times, and will do whatever they can to shut the church up and to stop the kingdom of God from moving forward. It's a commitment. I said it's a commitment. You got to be convinced that it is worth every trouble and every trial. And the Bible says that Saul was on his way to Damascus, far north of Jerusalem. He was getting away. He had stirred up so much trouble and chased down as many people as he could find. He wasn't happy to do that. He said, I'm going to travel even further away and find more, because I hear these little Christians spreading all over the place. The Bible says as he was traveling on the road to go to this city, Damascus, that God shined a light down in his life and knocked him off of his animal that he was riding on and blinded him and began to speak to him. But because when you have an experience with Jesus, when Jesus sets you free, he sets you free for real. He changes everything about you. And the voice of Jesus cried out from the Spirit to Saul, the persecutor, the havoc maker, the killer, the stoner, the blasphemer, the persecutor, the opponent of God. And he said, why are you persecuting me? The Bible said that the Lord spoke back and he said, I am Jesus. And he said, who are you? And he said, I am Jesus, the one you are persecuting. And it completely changed his life. He got a new name and he got a new life. And he stopped hurting people and he started helping people. Hallelujah. He stopped hurting people and he started helping people. And so what does it have to do with our scripture text? Jesus said to the Jews that believed in him, you will know the truth and the truth will set you free. It's harsh sometimes for somebody to tell you, you are bound by sin. You are the captive of Satan and you are doing his bidding. And they were nonplussed. They were self-righteous and they said, we have never been enslaved to anybody. Who, me? And Jesus said, you are a slave to sin. And it's you will obey sin and do what sin tells you to do. If you want to be free from that, you are going to have to be set free by the Son of God. And when the Son of God sets you free, then you will find out what freedom really is. He said, I like the way he says it. When the Son sets you free, you will be free truly, for real. In modern day vernacular, it means, indeed means for real. Not a fake freedom. The Jews that Jesus was talking to, they were very religious people. And they obeyed all of the rituals. But they did not know who God was. They gave sacrifices. And they quote unquote obeyed what the commandments were. And they said, I believe. But when they went about in their homes, there was abuse. And there was all sorts of sin and evil. When they were on their jobs and their businesses, there was lying and there was cheating. And they were hurting people. They were hurting their families. And they were dragging people away from God while all the time calling themselves believers. Jesus said, let me tell you something, baby. You are bound. And religion has become another layer of protection you think and defense for yourself. And it has just become another layer. God never intended for religion to cause bondage and bind our minds and cause us to be locked up and tied up the same way we were when we were in sin. When Jesus sets you free, he sets you free for real. Hallelujah. And we don't have to worry about rites. And we don't have to worry about rituals. Because what has changed is what's in our hearts.
Amen.
Truth is not concealed. Truth is not an illusion. But truth is reality. And Jesus said this about the truth later in John chapter 14, verse 6. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. And so God took a man who thought he was free named Saul, and he smacked him around a couple of times and woke up his makeup, as the saying used to go, and God saved him from his bitterness and his violence and his ritualism and his sin, and he filled him with the gift of the Holy Spirit, and that passion that he had for sin became a passion for Jesus. That passion that he had to hurt people became a passion to help people, and it was dramatic, the change that came over his life. And immediately, the Bible says, immediately in the book of Acts, he began to preach Jesus. You can tell somebody that has been set free indeed, because they can't shut up about Jesus. They can't shut up about what Jesus is doing. Won't you shut up about Jesus? I've heard enough about Jesus to last me for the rest of my life. You're making me sick with all your talk about Jesus. That's what the Sanhedrin, the religious and political ruler, said to Paul, Peter, and John when they healed a crippled man. And they came in there and they made this accusation. You are filling up Jerusalem with your talk about Jesus. And you know what they told him to do? Well, you can go heal anybody you want to. You can have all the followers you want to. But don't use the name of Jesus anymore, because we're sick of hearing it. That's how you know somebody has been set free. Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the good news about Jesus, because there's power to set you free in the good news about Jesus. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation. Jesus came to rescue those who are slaves to sin. And when he does it for real. So Paul goes on and he's talking to Timothy. But I received mercy because I had acted ignorantly in unbelief. And the grace of our Lord overflowed for me with the faith and love that are in Christ Jesus. The saying is trustworthy, and he goes on, deserving of full acceptance, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the foremost. There's a change of understanding when the prophet Isaiah, he was a preacher, he was a prophet, he was seeing visions, but he saw a vision of God in his throne room in Isaiah chapter 6, and it caused him to understand who he really was. And he said, oh, I'm a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the middle of an unclean people. I'm in trouble, I'm in trouble, I'm in trouble. That's how you know that somebody has been set free, because they wake up and realize how bad the trouble really is that they are in. And when they wake up and realize that, that's when Jesus comes in and sets you free. That's when Jesus comes in and delivers your life from being a slave to sin to being a freeborn believer and citizen of the kingdom of heaven. Hallelujah. He said, and the reason why that I receive this mercy in my life is so that Jesus might display his perfect patience as an example to those who were to believe in him for eternal life, to the King of the ages, immortal, invisible, the only God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. He said, I know why Jesus saved me. He saved me so the world could see that there's still hope for them. When people look at you and they see the changes, they think, maybe there's hope for me. That's exactly, tell me that ain't what it does. Brother Darnell, oh, the Lord spoke to me. What does that tell you? Hey, If God can speak to Darnell, I'm going to pop my ears open. He might try to speak to me too. If he can speak to Darnell, he can speak to anybody. All I got to do is listen. Wow, there's hope for me. When we see where people have come from, if you know why God wants to work a miracle, it's a beautiful thing. But God wants to heal you. Yes, He does. God wants to work a miracle in your life. Yes, He does. Why? Because the people are going to look at you and say, there's hope for me. Because God is going to use you as an example. Hey, if you're going through trial and tribulation, you might as well get a miracle and let God use you as an example. Because there ain't no point in just going through trials and tribulation. Where's the fun in that? Who wants a trial and a tribulation? Jesus said, pray. Oh, right? He said, pray that the Lord would deliver us from the evil one. Oh, come on now, Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, forgive us our debts, we forgive us, and lead us not into temptation. There ain't no fun in evil, folks. There ain't no fun being there. And I want to say, if Jesus led you to a trial and a tribulation, you ought to be praying, God, use it for your glory. God, show your excellence in my situation. Heal me, God, so that I can go around and tell people Jesus still heals.
Amen.
So that I can go around and say Jesus still works miracles. Yes. And God can take our awful lives, messed up lives, and turn us into a show house that everybody wants to get an appointment to walk through. They just walk by. Ah, ooh, look at that floor. Oh man, I wish, and the kids, oh, I wish this was my room. Oh, look at the view. Oh, look at the yard. God wants to make us a showcase for His glory. For His glory. For His glory. Well, I'm 30 minutes in.
I can
place
it.
Give Now, I want to talk to the rest of you today. Because I know most of you have already got it all figured out that I ain't preaching to you. Should I do that or should I just call it today and just let it slide? Says, DeBernie, you think I'll let you slide today? You think I'll put throw a little bone in there for the old times? Should I throw a little bone in there for the veterans?
Let it rip.
Let her rip, Taylor Chip. Peter said in his letter, 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 16, live as people who are free. So talking about being free, show me. And do not use your freedom as a cover-up for evil. But living as servants of God. Paul said, well, should we continue in sin that grace may abound? Absolutely not. You are out of your mind, stark, raving, mad, crazy, insane if you think that your sin brings some kind of glory to God. We were at a meeting recently, and I probably shouldn't share this, but I'm going to, and I'll ask for forgiveness later. And we was talking about, I don't even remember what we was talking about. We was talking about how the Lord brought me from a mile away. And we was talking about how, you know, there's some people feel like they don't have a witness or a testimony because they ain't never been in, you know, done anything bad. Well, I never was an alcoholic, so I really can't witness to an alcoholic. Y'all need to stop listening to the devil and start reading your Bible a little bit. Come on now. Well, I've never been addicted to drugs or anything, so I can't be a witness to anybody. And you can't be a witness to anybody either because you ain't never been addicted to drugs. You can't witness to a drug addict. You can witness to people who listen to you because you don't have anything in common with them. Maybe you've got a lot in common with that drug addict, a whole lot more than what you think you do. It may be a pair of shoes you're shopping for. It may be a fancy suit you're shopping for. It may be a new car or a better house you're shopping for. Or it may be your favorite fudge brownies with walnuts on top that you're shopping for. But baby, you got the same problems that addict has. We were talking about it. And somebody had mentioned about a young woman who had been raised in the church, very sheltered, and always lived for God, and didn't feel like that she had a testimony. and it just popped in my mind that we were up in Carrick, Illinois, and we were up there, and that's a big church. They got 600 members in the church, and so you know that pastor, he's doing all right. You know what I'm saying? His house is nicer than my house. His car is nicer than my car, which that didn't take much. But. You know what I'm saying? He's doing all right. He's got it made in the shade. He's big time. And his daughter and children have been raised up right. And they ain't never drugged, and they ain't never drunked, and they ain't never done those things, and they ain't never run the roads and caroused around, and they found him a husband and wife that got married to him and stayed with him and had pretty little children together, and they all dressed up nice on Sunday. Got the girls got their little frilly dresses on, and the boys with his little tie, and they've done everything right. But this year, this has been 1 year in the making. Started with the pastor's wife. Now you know she hasn't made it in shape. And everybody respects her, you know, because you don't want to mess with the pastor. It's him bring the hammer down on you. You mess with the pastor's wife, they're going to pray it over you. You mess with the pastor's wife. Now, I've had people mess with my wife before. You know what I do when people run my wife down? I laugh in their face. I have literally, physically laughed in people's faces as talking about my wife. And I laugh because of it, because of the inanity of it. I laugh because of the idiocy of it. And it was kind of a sad laugh in a way because of how blind that person. They were obviously they were the ones that were messed up because my wife will never do anything wrong. She got it made in the shade, and everything is going her way. And the Lord wakes her up in the middle of the night and puts a burden on her for people that are incarcerated. So you got this pretty pastor's wife, and she's got all the right clothes, and she knows all the right moves, and she knows how to raise her hand, and she can sing the right harmonies and get the church a shout on Sunday night while she's doing the solos. And she can do all of that stuff. And the Lord goes and messes everything up, wakes her up in the middle of the night, and says to her, "You need to pray for the incarcerated." And 2 years later, she is preaching in prisons, in high security prisons, preaching to men and preaching to women, seeing people baptized in water and filled with the Holy Spirit, and ex-convicts sitting on the pews. I'm here to tell you something. You got what the world needs. You got freedom in Jesus. They're not looking for a fancy car or a fancy house. They're not looking for somebody that's locked in. They're looking for a way out.
That's right.
And it's what's flowing out of your heart through the power of God that draws them. And so a fancy and pretty and primping all pastor's wife is now preaching in the prisons. You don't have to be a felon to be used by God to reach felons. If you've got the good news about Jesus, you've got everything you need to turn people's world around. Hallelujah. And that's not what I'm preaching about right now. I'm talking about the pastor's daughter. Her husband, I mean, he's all fixed up. He's got his beard all trimmed real nice. He's got the tight jeans on and everything just rolled up so. He's got all fancy shoes on. And the Lord moves on her because there's a woman in town that has just got out of prison. And she's got problems with drugs and alcohol and partying. And she's got a little baby. And she doesn't know who the daddy is. And she's living in desperate poverty. And God wakes up and starts talking to the pretty little pastor's daughter. And she goes and starts teaching her a Bible study. Helps her clean the house. Helps her take care of the kid. And begins to get involved. And 1 year later, because some little pretty little Christian girl got a burden and came to a realization, I've got something that the world needs.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. They started a ministry to addicts, and in 1 year's time, that she has turned the church upside down, and they celebrated 1 year anniversary of a Celebrate Recovery addiction ministry in their church, having served over 200 addicts in the first year. Paul said, I count everything that I have and everything that I have ever done as zero, zilch, nada. The only thing that I care about is sharing Jesus with one more person. Over 200 addicts ministered to. And at the conference where we went to, they were lined up across the front of the platform. And they got a big platform for 600 people. And they were, you could tell, you know, some of them still had a little jink in their hink. You know what I mean? I just made that up. Some of them were still a little twitchy. And some of them still looked a little rough. And they could see their tattoos emblazoned upon their necks and their hands and their arms. Something was different. They came in contact with the real deal, and they were set free for real by the power of the good news about Jesus. And Jesus washed away their sins in His blood, and He filled them with the Spirit of power and love and soundness of mind. And they are going out and they are telling others. What am I preaching today? I'm telling you simple, folks. Just because you're fancy, just because you got everything together, does not give you an excuse. You can't hide behind the way you look. You can't hide behind the way you talk. Because God sees what's in your heart. He sees the pettiness. He sees the resentment. He sees the bitterness. He sees the hurt and the pain you're carrying around. Don't you use your liberty as a cover up for sin. Don't use it to make excuses. Here's what you do when Jesus sets you free. Here's what you do when Jesus sets you free. Hallelujah. Here's what you do when Jesus sets you free. Number one, you remember where He brought you from. James chapter 1 verse 25. But the one who looks into the perfect law, the law of liberty, and perseveres. Everybody say persevere. Get the severe part in there. Perseveres. And being no hearer who forgets, but a doer who acts, he will be blessed in his doing. When you are set free, you've got to protect your freedom. You've got to preserve your freedom. You've got to persevere in your freedom. Because there's always going to be somebody trying to take what you got. There's always going to be somebody trying to steal away your joy. And you've got to have a made up mind that nobody is going to drag me back to that hellish pit that I was in when Jesus found me. When I was working over at all these girls, we had a boss that was rough. And women are funny when you work with them. Women can't get along with each other for nothing. Don't ask me to explain that to you because I don't have time to read the book for that. And I'm not trying to be negative on women, but that's just the way it is, folks. And those women were, and they was mad at the boss, and the boss would probably treat them bad. That's just the way women do. Oh, you little baby. You know, I worked with a girl one time, and she's a good friend of mine. We love each other. You know, we got a good relationship and everything like that. But, I mean, she had some issues because, like, she'd be sitting in the register checking out, you know, and here comes a pregnant woman, and she's like this, you know, and she's got already got one that still ain't walking yet. Here she comes, you know. And I was like, why didn't you? And that lady, you know, I've never shopped at Aldi before. It's like, hurry up, get your groceries on the belt. And they're throwing them in the cart. And you're trying to get everything on there. And here's this poor pregnant lady. She's got a baby cart around. And you know what our cashier was doing? Well, she went to the door. And I'm sitting there watching that. So I told her, I said, why didn't you help that woman?
You know what she said?
Nobody helped me when I was pregnant. I'm telling you, that is the way it is. That's the rule and not the exception. So can you say you need to be set free by Jesus? Can you say you need to be set free for real? And then when was this? And so I was working at Aldi's, and the boss was there, and they were at the boss. And they were talking to me, you know, like trying to run the boss down. I'm like, I don't know what you're longer. You know, and then they throw the old man card. This guy's your man. So no, it's because I work my tail end off. And I don't complain and whine about every minute that I have to do.
Amen.
Hello? I'll tell you why she treats me good. Because I'm saving her back from breaking. How? I'm breaking my back. And they just couldn't understand. So how can you say that? How can you like her? How can you get along with her as mean as she is? Blah, 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 blah. And I said, let me tell you something. I used to be like that. I used to be ate up with bitterness and anger and resentment. I used to be bound up by it. And it was like a toxic chemical that was in my soul. And every time I walked, it was like trying to have, it's like having a 55-gallon drum full of caustic chemical liquid and no top on it. And you're trying to roll it down the road without splashing it anywhere. It's going to get on you. It's going to get on everybody. And that's the way I was. But Jesus came back. Down, and he set me free for real. And I was like, what happened? I don't have any hate in my heart. I'm not bitter anymore. I'm not angry at people anymore. Something changed by the power of God's love inside of me. It was a miracle. And I told that girl that was complaining about the boss, I said, I am never going back to that place again. I am not going to go. It was too hard, I told her, to get out of that place of sorrow and anger and pain. And when God set me free, I made up my mind, I am never going back there again. When Jesus sets you free for real, you need to get for real in the way that you live for Him and the way that you serve Him. It said in Galatians 5:1, for freedom, Christ has set us free. Why did He set me free? Well, I'll tell you why He sets you free, so you can be free. That don't make any sense. It makes perfect sense. Because then he goes on, he says, stand firm, therefore, and do not submit again to the yoke of slavery. Don't go back where you were. Hallelujah. When you're free, you got to talk like you're free. When you're free, you think like you're free. When you're free, you act like you're free. You live like you're free. Paul said to the church in Rome, but thanks be to God that you who were once slaves of sin have become obedient from the heart to the standard of teaching to which you were committed. And having been set free from sin, have become slaves of righteousness. And he said, I'm speaking in human terms because of your natural limitations. But he said, just as you once presented your members as slaves to impurity and to lawlessness, leading to more lawlessness, so now present your members as slaves to righteousness, leading to sanctification. I guess I'm preaching over your head today. I'm preaching too long. But this is what happens. He sets you free to be free. He sets you free so you can be free. He sets you free so you can be free. He didn't set you free from sin so you can be bound by religion. He didn't set you free from sin so you can be bound by rituals. He set you free so you can be free. So you can walk in the earth with your chin up and your chest stuck out. So you can walk in the earth and not trip over your own bottom lip. But you can have a mouth full of praise to God and no longer be bound to sin. Let's all stand together today. And so once the Lord has set you free, we see a lot of people come and we see a lot of people go because people don't understand. You've got to persevere in your freedom. Freedom comes at a price and it stays at a price. We gotta hold up, amen, our armor. We gotta stand our ground and not give an inch to the devil again. I set us free from hate, so we persevere in love.
Amen.
God set us free from hate, and so we persevere in love. When we're tempted to go back to hate, you know what we do? We love. When we're tempted to fall back into those old traps of sin, you know what we do instead? We do what's right.
I was talking to my aunt, Gigi, the other day. She's been smoking her whole entire life. Now she's got emphysema, COPD, all of that. And I was sending it to her about it. She's come back. Last time I saw her, she was down to 8 cigarettes a day. And she got a little book. She writes down every single day and everything that happens every day. She's keeping track of how many cigarettes. She got down to 6. She got down to 4. She said, March 13th, I had 0 cigarettes, and I haven't had a cigarette since. I'm telling you this for a reason. And so I said, well, do you feel like, you know, you want to have another cigarette? Yes. But she said, I sit there and I tell myself, and she got to take her glasses off to emphasize the point. She said, I tell myself, you've got a white sheet and you're not going to dirty it up. We have to persevere in our freedom. When we attempted to sin, persevere in doing what's right. You stop doing what's right, well, what are you going to do next? You're going to do something, you'll sin. God set us free from lying, so what do? We persevere in the truth. God set us free from anxiety, so what do? When we feel our thoughts crushing in, we persevere in peace. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, who puts his trust in thee. Those that believe in the Lord will not be anxious or hasty. God set us free from doubt, so what do? We persevere in faith and trust. God set us free from pride, so what do? We persevere in humility and meekness. He set us free from haste, so we persevere in patience. He set us free from rebellion, so we persevere in obedience. He set us free from the works of righteousness, so what do? We persevere in grace. And when we persevere in love, you know what happens? Our relationships get better. We get along better with our kids. We get along better with our spouse. We get along better with our neighbors and our co-workers. When we persevere in love, our freedom begins to leak out into our relationships. When we persevere in doing what's right, we go to bed at night with a clean conscience. When we persevere in truth, you know what happens? You get a reputation in the community. He always tells the truth. She always tells the truth. You can trust him. You can trust her. When we persevere in peace, God's provisions come at the right time, every moment. When we persevere in faith and trust, you know what happens then? Mountains that are in our lives begin to move. When we persevere in humility and meekness, you know what happens? God exalts us divinely. When we persevere in patience, we begin to harvest righteousness and we begin to realize the salvation of our souls. When we persevere in obedience, we come into unity of the Spirit with God and the church. And when we persevere in grace, we abound in good works. God has always given us the opportunity to do things for other people. Bound by hate, bound by sin, lying, anxiety, doubt, all of those things. But those other things set us free. And those other things come to us freely when we give ourselves wholly and completely to Jesus Christ. True freedom is found in Jesus. Free
It's so amazing. Well, God said you have to forgive him. No, you don't have to do anything.
You want to.
Why?
Because you're free in Jesus. What are you free from? You're free from grudges.
How can you forgive them?
Because I'm free to do so.
But when you got grudges and bitterness and resentment, you're enslaved. You can't forgive, can you?
That's all you talk about.
That's all you think about. Come on now. Jesus, clean the garbage out of me. Clean the junk out of my spirit, my mind, my heart, my life. And bring your real freedom into my life. Today, Lord. And I know it sounds like a weird thing to do, just to talk to God. That's exactly what we do. We take that step to him. We just talk to him and say, God, I need your help. God, take away. Sometimes you got to be specific. God, take away this, take away that, take away that. And I'm telling you, it's just uncanny how the Lord will come and answer our prayers, take things away from us that we ask him to remove. So I want us to come around the front for the few moments that we have left. And yes, I...